Welcome to Life Unsalted, inspiring you with expert advice and innovative ideas, from health and career to finance and leadership. Listen in on leaders and influencers in the community doing something awesome. Live your most extraordinary life because life is too sweet to be salty.
So welcome to Life Unsalted. My name is Christina Randall, and I'm here as a hostess along with Luisa Garcia. And we have a fantastic guest today, Peggy Wardlaw, who is the founder of Wardlaw Appraisal Group. She is a registered professional engineer and also a registered professional appraiser with a master's degree in petroleum engineering from the University of Texas of Austin, has over 27 years of appraising mineral, industrial, and utility properties. And so we have invited Peggy here today. Welcome, Peggy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And to talk to us about entrepreneurialism. And she is also now going to be running for Congressional District 21 in the upcoming elections here, here in February. So we wanted to kind of talk to Peggy a little bit about her entrepreneurial background. And how did you get started? I mean, and it's such an interesting background as well. I mean, most women think, you know, hey, I'm going to do something in, you know, in the, you know, arts area or in fashion. And you went into petroleum engineering. Where did that come from, that inspiration?
Well, it was kind of crazy because I actually got an undergraduate degree in government, which kind of ties into why I'm running for office. And that's really been my first love. But after getting a government degree, I realized I couldn't really find a job in that field. So My husband was going into petroleum engineering in the master's program. And the head of the department said, hey, Peggy, why don't you join him and become a woman in the program? And so there were two women and 74 men in the program when I got my master's degree.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about that. it's really more male-dominated. And then as an entrepreneur, you then started your business.
Right.
And did you find it additionally hard being a female in the, you know, in that area?
It was hard to be accepted, but I actually started the business because I was a mom and I wanted more flexible hours. And we both had jobs with Amoco and had several job offers from major companies. But I wanted the flexibility of having my own business and to have time that I could spend home with the kids.
Wonderful. That's awesome. And a lot of our viewers, you know, they are, you know, young people in their 20s, 30s and early 40s. And, you know, they're working for someone right now. Kind of like you got your job experience first, but then you wanted more and you wanted to have that flexibility of time. What was like the scary part of like jumping from the corporate world where you have the protection of a corporation and moving into entrepreneurialism as your income source?
Well, I was lucky because I had a husband who actually had a corporate job and was able to support the family with his good paying job. So that's what really allowed me to start my own business. I never really had a corporate job except in the summers.
Okay.
So I can't say that I ever worked full time in the corporate field, although I did work for IRS through college.
Oh, my. Well, wonderful. And so, I mean, eventually your husband then joined you in your business.
Correct. Yes, he did.
So I guess it was so profitable that you basically took over on the income side.
That's true. I mean, that is what happened because eventually we started out and we really were paying money to start a business, which I think is real common for entrepreneurs, male and female. And then after a while, we got it going. We worked sometimes all night. We worked 24-hour days on occasion to get product out to customers. But eventually, it took off and we were able to then Malcolm was able to quit his job. We also bought commercial real estate, and that was a huge boon back in the early 90s.
Really?
And so we really, that's really how we made our first large amount of money.
Wow. Well, I mean, many of us, you know, are, you know, even afraid to get a house, you know, or a nice car, you know. And so you have a lot of courage.
Well, thank you.
You know, to be able to step out and to do those things and, you know, get into real estate and get into, you know, engineering and petroleum and the whole gas and oil industry. What advice would you give to someone who's considering starting their own business and they have limited funds and limited knowledge on how to do it. I mean, were there any like mentors or programs or things that helped make you successful in the entrepreneurial area?
I think that what really helped me was my dad. My father was a small business person through his whole life, and he raised six children on self-employment income. And he had a hard time really kind of breaking out and making significant amounts of money. So, but we used to always drive around Austin where I grew up, and he would say, look at that piece of land. I could have bought that for X amount of dollars. And that land on Town Lake, Mrs. Soforth was offered to sell it to me for $300 an acre. So I had this notion in my mind. And so then we just saved up a little nest egg and went forward with it and found a bank that actually loaned us 100% of the money. But my advice to somebody who wants to start their own business is keep your day job, work on the side, and just save up a little bit of money. It doesn't take a lot, but it just requires a lot of hours of work.
So a lot of people are like, you know, working a job and they're like, I want to be my own boss. Is it easier to be an employee or to start your own business and be your own boss?
That's really a good question, because when I saw my dad working all the time, I thought, I am never going to do that. I am going to work for somebody that gives me a salary. And again, I was lucky because my husband had, who's still my husband, drew a salary. Mm-hmm. But they're both hard. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you have to be willing to work really, really long hours. Mm-hmm. And to put everything that you've got into it. My son-in-law and one of our daughters just started a board game company. And he had a full-time job, and they worked together to get their board game company going until it finally made more money than his job. So kind of like Malcolm and I.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, obviously having that consistent income is the right wiser thing to do, because unfortunately it's not like the world is not Shark Tank. You can't just take a great idea, show up on television, and they'll give you millions of dollars.
No, it just doesn't. And really, somebody advised us, which I think was good advice, that a lot of companies may get an SBA loan up front, and then they go and get a fancy office and a lot of furniture, and then go under and have that big debt. So we've really bootstrapped it always and just saved up our money, except for commercial real estate where we borrowed money from the bank.
Yeah. And are there any particular things about you as a person that you wanted to take your business and, you know, provide a certain level of service, or, you know, from, you know, like, did you have like a mission or a cultural statement that you were trying to make with your business? And how you dealt with clients or, you know, potential clients and things of that nature that really made you stand out from your competitors?
Yes, I think that what we brought to the field was the ability to be nimble, to provide services quickly, and to respond to any problems in a really quick manner. And we brought always the highest level of customer service. So I've always believed that you can, if you have a client, you need to really provide good customer service and give them the product that they need very quickly.
Wonderful. And you're now going to be running for Congressional District 21. It's very exciting. Is this your first election?
It is. I have never run for office before. And I was just so tired of everybody yelling at each other and blaming problems on the other race, the other person, the other religion, the other party. And I decided that what we really needed was a common sense, common ground solution. And so that's been my campaign promise, that I will go in, look for fact-based solutions, mm-hmm. and stop blaming the other side. And I've been traveling around Texas and talking to everybody that I met about politics. And what I found is that as Americans, we have common values. And oftentimes after I talk to somebody for 10, 20, 30 minutes, I couldn't tell if they were a Democrat or Republican, because we all want the same things. We want a healthy economy. We want health care that's quality and affordable. We want an immigration policy that addresses the needs of employers and immigrants into this country. And we want veterans policies that provide for our veterans after they finish their service career. Mm-hmm. And we're all the same. Why are we fighting over whether we're Democrats or Republicans? So I really believe that if we look at the issues and at the solutions to the problems from a fact-based area, and as an engineer, that's where I come from, mm-hmm. that we can find solutions for things, for our problems in Congress.
If you could, you know, if elected, solve one problem, what do you think is the biggest problem that would make the biggest impact on everyday people here in Texas? What would that be?
I was really driven, first of all, by healthcare, because as a small business owner, mm-hmm. every small business owner will tell you this, providing insurance for you and your family is very, very difficult. And it didn't start with Obamacare. It started way, way before Obamacare. And if we could have, I've struggled with having insurance for myself and my family when we were a very small company. Now I struggle with providing insurance for my employees. And so if we could have affordable, quality health care, that would be the one problem that I think would help the most people. Because nobody asks for their child to get cancer. No one asks to get into an auto accident. No one asks to go to the hospital with a heart attack. These things happen to us through no fault of our own, and everybody needs to be covered with quality health care. We pay twice what almost any other country in the world pays for less good outcomes. We need to fix it.
Definitely. That's a great thing. And how can people learn more about you? If they want to, you know, find out more about Peggy, you know, Wardlaw, do you have a website? Do you have, you know, information that people can go to learn more about you and some of the issues that you stand for?
I do. My website is called simply votepeggy.com. You can look me up on Facebook with hashtag VotePeggy. And there's a lot on my website about my core beliefs, about what my policy positions are. And I would really encourage everybody. There's a primary on March 6th. Early voting is from February 20th to February 28th. So please go out and vote, because we have very low voter participation. I'm running in the Republican primary. I need your vote. And I would really like for you to, if you agree with me, to check out my website. And please go vote on March 6th.
Absolutely. And a lot of people don't understand kind of how the primaries work. So, you know, and we got a lot of, you know, younger voters that are listening in on this podcast. So what happens if there's not a high enough turnout for Republican primary? What are the results?
So what happens is typically who goes to vote in the primary is older voters. And so that tends to skew the election toward what the older voters believe. So all you have to do if you are registered to vote is go either to one of the central polling stations in early voting or your precinct station on March 6th. During voting hours, you just walk in the door, you ask for a Republican ballot. If you want to vote for me, you find my name on the Republican side and congressional. Thank you. In Congressional District 21, and you can vote for whomever you know, the rest of the candidates, or you don't have to vote for everybody. That's one thing I misunderstood when I first started voting. I thought I had to vote for everybody, you know, in every single race. You don't. You can vote for whichever races you know something about.
Yeah, and it's really important that, you know, we as young people understand it's important for us to vote. I mean, this is a major, major, major gift that we have living in America. And there's people in other countries that would love to vote. Women weren't even voting until,
that's,
you know, our grandmother's generation. I mean, it's mm-hmm. pretty shocking. And so this is a right that we have, and we want to exercise our right if we want to be heard. And if there's issues that are important to us as younger people, we need to get out there and go vote and not leave it for the senior citizens who have their own agenda, which may not be, you know, what we feel is right for the new America that we're coming into. So just really appreciate you, Peggy, coming in and spending time with us today in Life Unsalted and kind of sharing with us about what it is to be an entrepreneur and also about this new exciting venture, because this is another form of entrepreneurialism.
That's true.
From, you know, the business side over and bringing some good common business sense into our political arena to kind of help all of us here. So we really appreciate everything that you do and for joining us today.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate having this opportunity to speak to you and the people on this podcast.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Peggy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye.